Welcome to a special edition of the Fleming Feedback. I'm your host, Reggie Fleming. Listen, I have a special treat on this show for all of you today. I have on the phone line with me a very special guest, a great friend in Christ, a visionary with purpose. He's definitely a family man. This is a boss with the boss beard. Yeah, he got one, man. I tell you, it's nice too on him. Yeah. But guess what, y'all? This man is a filmmaker. He has a brand new movie coming out in a few days that he filmed right here throughout upstate South Carolina. And he's here to talk about it. Man, I'm so excited that he's here for all of us to get all these details about this new movie. Fleming Feedback listeners, please welcome to the show my friend, a true trailblazer in the filmmaking arts, and my good brother, Mr. Jonathan Oglesby. Man, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I'm blessed, man.
Hey, that's all right, man. That's all right. Hey, man, I just want to say, how's everything going, man? How's the family, man?
They're good, man. They're good. Taking it one day at a time, man. They're getting on my nerves, but hey, I love it, though. I can't ask for nothing else, man.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. I know we're going to jump right into it, man, because I hear a lot of things about this new movie that you got coming out, man, and it's coming out in a few days. And, man, I just want us to jump right into it, man. I'm excited for you, man, because, man, I've known you for a while, man, for a minute. I've known you through ministry, and also I've known you through working with you at a job, man, at an automotive company. So right. We're not going to get into that, but we just going to really get into this movie, man, because I'm hearing so much buzz about this, man, and I'm excited for you, man. I know you're excited, and I want you to just tell us all about it, man. First of all, I want to ask you this question. What's the name of your new film, and for the listeners, when and where is this new movie coming out?
The movie is entitled TOOLS, all capital letters. It's an acronym I won't give away. You have to be there to know what the acronym is.
All right.
But it's premiering April 24th. The Chapman Culture Center right here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., you know, so I'm excited about it. 2 years in the making, man. It's finally here.
Man, I tell you what, man, that's awesome. Now, I hear you said it was 2 years in the making. Did COVID play a part in that?
Yes, it prolonged it a lot, you know, because the country generally shut down for like a year.
Yeah.
So we had to restructure some things and just sit and wait. But it also gave us time to perfect some things that we wanted to do in it. So I think it got better. I think it was needed that we just sat on it for a while before we put it out. So I guess it was God's timing, you could say, to make it even better. But I would have loved to put it out a year ago, you know, to ride the wave of the buzz. But I believe it was necessary because I think people that's going to come are the ones that God wants to be there. So, you know, I can't complain about nothing, man.
Yeah, I know that's right, man. That's good, man. That's awesome. Hey, I know you just said that you don't want to give away the acronym for the name TOOLS and everything, but how did you come up with the name for this film?
I'm a very spiritual person, you know. So when I explain this to people, some people that are not in that realm don't really get it. They think I'm crazy.
Right.
but TOOLS came from a sermon series that I was working on. And TOOLS just popped up and you know, I guess God just gave me that word, you know, and I was breaking down different tools and aspects that we can use to help us elevate in dark situations. So it went from a sermon series to actually becoming a screenplay that I believe God gave me because I always wanted to reach people in an unorthodox way. That has been my prayer and that is my ministry. So when God gave me this and he gave me the word tools, I already knew the direction I was going to take, you know, with it. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's a movie with two titles, so you can say that.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. I know also too. I've seen it on some of the social media platforms that, and I've seen it in the hashtags that it is considered an independent film. And for all the listeners on the show, tell them what that means.
Independent film is what it means. A person or a group of people that are not connected by a major company or backed by anything in a corporation. They don't, there's no funding involved. All the funding is raised by the individual or personal monies being allocated to the film. So it's basically grinding to raise the money with no financial backing, you know. So that's what it means when it's independent. It's a total different, it's a total different grind as opposed to being in a major film company. Because a major film company give you a $10 million budget and you can just work with that. Independent, there is none. You got to raise your own budget. And you do it, you hire people yourself, you get actors yourself. It's all done by one person or it's done by a team. In our case, it was done by a team of people.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It, also, too, do you get like sponsorships or anything like that, or people just just people just gift money into the film, into the project? Is it like that also?
Right, right. That's the main fundraising goal. Get people to sponsor it, and offer different packages because you know businesses love to advertise. So with the trade off, we put their product in the film and they give monies towards that. And some people just donate out the kindness of their heart. And that's how the money was raised. Donations, sponsorships. And also, we did some old school fish fries, man. I ain't going to lie.
Hey, man. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah.
To make it happen. So, and also my personal funds as well.
Yeah.
Because I believe you got to, you got to sow first before anybody else can sow into you.
Absolutely.
So that's how it all started. And that's how we was able to make the film.
Oh man, that's good, man. That's a lot of, I know there's probably a lot of ingenuity and creativity that came from that in order to drum up the funds to promote and do the film. Yeah. Also too, I want to know that, well, to be honest, I want to say this about independent films, because most people, when they hear independent film, they're like, man, look, independent, nah. It ain't gonna be, man. I have seen some independent films that are brilliant,
right?
From and also too, some independent films have won those major television film awards.
Oh yeah,
yeah. What they call them?
Sundance?
Yeah, the Sundance. Yeah, Sundance Awards for independent films. Yeah, definitely. So it's been a lot of great films come out of that, man. And I know this is gonna be one of them, man. So. I'm like I said, I'm just so excited for you, man, for what you're doing, man, in this industry. What made you pursue the making of this film, Tools?
Oh man, that's a good question. I never thought that I would make a film. I can honestly say that. I knew I used to write plays and skits, and I love writing in general.
Right.
But doing the actual film never crossed my mind. But like I said, when God gives you something, it's totally outside of the realm of your comfortable zone, your comfort zone. So when he gave it to me, I said, okay, I'm gonna make this a short little film to put out.
Yeah.
And, God just spoke to me. No, it has to be longer. It's a feature film. Even when I reached out to people and people that's experiencing this, they said short film is the way to go first. And I kept hearing in my spirit that, nah, this has to be a feature film, you know? So that's how I kind of got on the road to making it. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't have a clue. I just knew I knew how to write.
Okay.
But God brought a lot of experienced people on board to help me through and help me create this vision, man. So independent filmmaking is definitely not a one person thing. It takes a team of people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
A dedicated team of people, because filmmaking is long days, man, and doing stuff over and over and over again. And even with independent film, you're working with limited resources. So you got to be creative to make that product pop on screen and not make it too cheap looking, even though it was cheap to make, so to speak, as opposed to major films. But I think the grind is very, it's harder, so I never will put myself in this. I think God put me on this path to I guess, find my purpose, so to speak. So now I love doing it, man.
Yeah, I bet, man. I bet you do. I heard you say, man, that you said that there are some long days and probably some long nights as well, you know, especially with a project such as filmmaking. But tell me, how has your family reacted and adjusted to your schedule in the making of this film?
At first, I think they was prepared for it. But you know how people prepare for something, but when it comes time, it's like, oh man, you always gone. but I'm a family man, so I prioritize my life around me being a husband, me being a father. So we rehearsed, man. Actually, we rehearsed about almost a year straight. Like every other weekend, we was at rehearsal.
Oh, wow.
That other weekend when I wasn't rehearsing, that was family time. So,
gotcha.
But when it came to filming, that was every week in January, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 12 plus hour days.
So that
was kind of a grind. But like I said, they was already prepared for what was to come. So it's a grind, man. It takes dedication. You really got to love this thing, man. But I can honestly say that I do it over again, man.
Yeah. I bet that's an exhilarating feeling, man, to know that you're birthing something out, man, to the public, to the world, to see your vision, your concept, and you know, and also your creativity and what you're doing. I mean, I can't even imagine what filmmaking is all about, what it all curtails. But I like what you said. You know, you are a family man. You truly a family man. So I know with anything that you're doing, man, I'm pretty sure your family just taking heed to whatever you're doing, and they following suit with, you know, right behind you. Yeah, but I want to say this too. I know you said that you love to write, man. So where did your writing skills come from? I mean, you went to school, or it just come to you naturally?
It came to me because I'm adopted, first of all. So
okay.
Nobody in my family wrote that I was, my adopted family.
Yeah.
But I met my biological family later on, and I noticed, man, that all my siblings are creative, like really creative. Wow. My brother, he writes raps. My other brother, he writes poetry. My sister, she writes poetry. So I said, okay.
Wow.
That's where that love of writing comes from, whether I'm writing a story, writing a song.
Wow.
Or just scribbling on paper. I have this weird little thing where I write with my finger in the air, and everybody always asks, what are you writing? I say, oh, no, I don't know. You know, but I guess writing became an escape for me. You know, that was my stress reliever. Outside of going to the club, I'm not a clubber. I never was a bar hopper.
Right.
I got my sense of peace from writing, you know, writing stories, writing in general. Then I got my family, so now it became writing and my family. So it's a sense of peace for me, and my family loves to write and do spoken word and all this creative thing. So I can say I got it honestly.
Oh yeah, man, you did. You did, man. That's amazing, man. Everybody in your family, in your biological family, they were very, very creative in poetry and writing. You write poetry too?
Yes.
You do?
In anything dealing with writing, man, I pretty much probably do.
I may
not be good at certain things, but I just love writing in general. Putting words together is my favorite thing to do.
Oh man, that's cool, man. I mean, I've known you for this while, I mean, for this long time, and we had the Safe Haven meetings, conferences at the church, man, with Pastor Cars, man. I never knew that you was a writer like that, man, and wrote poetry and stuff, man. I knew you could preach, man. You could teach. But
right.
Man.
that comes from writing.
That
too.
Comes that from it, man. Yeah. So, hey, man, that's great, man. That's great. Hey, tell me, when did the concept of this movie come to your head, man? How did it come about? I mean, how long did it take you to actually, from piece by piece? Was it like a piece by piece, or was it just all at once? I know you said that you wanted to make it a short film at first, but then you said, I want to make it longer. But when did that concept just pop into your head?
Right. My right-hand man, Antonio, we always used to meet up and talk for hours, man, and just vibe. So we real close friends. And I came with him with the concept of, you know, I want to do something different, you know. And he's always on board. He's one of the ones that say, okay, whatever you want, man, let's go. Let's get it. And whether it be a good idea or a bad idea, he was always for it. So I came to him with the idea. And we actually sat at the middle, I think it's the Middle Tiger Library. I think it's in, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had about three sessions where we would just talk about things in life. It was like an event session.
Yeah.
And we would just write things down that we wanted to, that everybody goes through, basically.
Okay, yeah.
And writing down how to navigate through it. Then we start putting elements together to make a story. And it got real meticulous because we are analyzers.
Yeah, so right.
down to the names, down to the car they drove, or down to the clothes. It was meticulously done. A lot of people won't get that, but if you're a deep thinker, you will later.
Right.
But that's how it came about. And I just actually got all those notes for over those two or three sessions. And within, I'll say, 2 weeks, I already had the rough draft written.
Right.
120 pages. And sent it in to him. He read it. He said, "Man, how did you write that so quickly?"
Uh-huh.
And I just think that when God gives you something, it's already in you. You just gotta, you know, awaken it. You gotta tap into it. So when I sat at that keyboard, man, I wrote it. I actually kind of wrote it before 2 weeks, but I had to format it. I did 70 pages in one day. So
wow.
Yeah. So I said, "Man, this is really in me." And that was kind of the direction. Then all the pre-production and all the stuff, that's when the work came in. That's when the real work came in, because getting a cast together, getting a crew together, just share the vision, because independent films, actors don't get paid like that. You know, it's all for the love of it, for the experience of it. So finding the people that see your vision and didn't want nothing in return but experience, that was a blessing. So the cast and crew came together piece by piece over like a few months, kind of quicker than most people. But that's why I say, man, I really believe that God had his hands on this project, man, because from starting from $0 to where we are now with a premiere happening, it's amazing, man.
Man, that's awesome, man. Good gracious, that's crazy. Man, that's from start to finish, man. Golly, man. All the little concepts, like you said, meticulously put together, man. And just from that, man, you made a movie.
Right.
All the little things, man, that we don't even think about, a movie come about. Man. Hey, I want to jump right into this, man. Could you tell the listeners just a little bit, man? We don't want to give too much of the movie away, but just give us a little of what the movie Tools is about.
Okay. Tools is about a young man by the name of John. John grew up in a household with a loving family. Something tragic happens that changed his course in life.
Wow.
That led him down a dark path, the mm-hmm. wrong road, the wrong choices. And it ultimately ended him up in prison, you know. And while he was in prison, he got out and he vowed that he was going to change his life around. He was going to take a different path. But he would soon find out that that's easier said than done. And he meets up with these childhood friends that he was running around the streets with. And that's where the story really picks up at.
Mm-hmm.
John is the main character, but it's two other, I'll say, co-main characters in it. And it's three aspects of life, man. Somebody that has a fresh start and wants to change. And has the mindset of changing. But then you got some of his buddies that one of them want nothing to do with changing his life around, or he don't want to hear nothing about God. And you got one that actually changed his life around. It's a funny thing about that too. When you see the change in characters, it's a drastic change from the young version of him to the old version.
Oh wow.
And I said, this ain't gonna look right on screen, but it shows the change aspect in people, that mm-hmm. you change so much that you almost become unrecognizable to the people that you grew up with. He has his head on his shoulders, but he gets met with opposition. So it shows three aspects of life and how people deal with them. And I will say this, that It's very raw. It's very graphic. Now, I ain't gonna say graphic. It's raw. It's raw emotions, raw feelings.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a big advocate of, and we made this little slogan up when we was rehearsing. We said, life isn't PG. Life is never PG. It's uncensored. It's unfiltered. It's raw.
Yeah.
So we kept that. We kept that rawness in it, but it's not over the top.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's not over the top, but it has some choice words in there. And everything like that, but it gives a raw story and a raw depiction of three aspects of life and how we can use the tools to overcome them, or those tools could be fashioned into weapons to destroy us.
Oh man, so, that's good.
Yeah, so that's the main vein of the movie.
Yeah, gotcha, man. Hey, unfiltered, you said uncensored and raw.
Right.
Man, I can't wait to see this, man. I want to, oh, man, look, I'm ready for it already, because I've been seeing little snippets, man. I've heard some of the snippets of the soundtrack. Man, let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about your cast in a few minutes, man, but let's talk about the soundtrack. I love what I heard. I love it, man.
Oh, you're awesome.
Man, could you talk a little bit about the soundtrack, and what are some of the songs, and who are some of the artists?
All of the artists that are on the soundtrack EP, it's people that I've known for some years. Besides JB Sampson, I just met him. So It's Siege, JB Sampson, Reggie Rock, Dub Dupree. He's a spoken word artist, and Al Harris, and some newcomers on there, T Boogie and Bambi. So those are the features, man. And
wow,
how that came about was, from the first part, you know, when we was in, you know, in the meetings in Inman Library, we said we want to have a little backdrop, a soundtrack to this. What would that be like? And we vowed to finish, complete the vision the way we initially wanted it to go. I think God was a part of that, because I was gonna ditch the EP because of budget reasons. But the first song we did was Tools, the first track on the EP.
Yeah.
And that sparked something. So I said, I got to do at least three or four more songs. So, but it's a direct correlation, man, with the film. All the content coincides with the film.
Okay.
And I gave those guys the concept and they ran with it. And it was kind of scary what they put together.
How so?
Because I just gave them a word. Uh-huh. I said, all right, I want this to be about scars. I want this to be about drowning in whatever it is you're going through. Alone, now being alone, having nobody. Those are the titles of tracks, by the way, y'all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's the only thing I gave them, man. And when we was in the studio creating and they came and laid their tracks, their verses, it was so scary that what they were saying actually happens in the movie.
Wow.
It actually happened. I said, did somebody tell y'all the script or something like that? He said,
oh, this is before they even seen a script or anything. This is before the characters came about and into play. And wow, man.
Right. Yeah, but the soundtrack came after the shooting was done, but nobody has seen it. So,
gotcha.
And I know the artists have never read the script. So what they put together was in direct correlation with the film that just blew me away. I said, wow. But that's when you know God has his hands on it, man.
Man, all in it.
It's deep. I'm glad you liked it, though, man.
Man, yeah, man. Hey, look, man, I love anything with beats in it, man. Any type of, you know, long, drawn-out beats, man. And then, you know, if you putting them words in it, man, if you know what you're saying and you talking about it and it's real and, like you said, raw, look, man, some of those songs, man, it blew my mind, man. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, and don't get it twisted, man. I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, and everything like that. But look, back when I was a teenager in my younger days, man, if most music had, back when I was younger, man, most music, it had full meaning. You didn't worry about the beats and the melody and stuff like that. But if it had meaning, but this right here, it has both meaning and the beats to it. So yeah, I can relate to it.
Right. That was intentional, man. Intentional, man. I like. Some of these artists have like one kind of lane they kind of go down. They're comfortable with certain type of beats, so I kind of switched it up and put a different beat at them, more up to date beat, and they did their thing on it, man. So it kind of grabs people.
Yeah.
But you're going to get something out of what they're saying when they're speaking. So.
Yeah. And you know what? And I always hear something that I, you know, when I listen to it, I hear something and I say, wait a minute, let me play this back. Man, and I caught a different vibe. I caught a different angle what they were saying. Even though they were saying something different, I would catch another different angle of what they were saying. And then I started drawing on my own life, man. You know, like, man, this right here, what he's saying, man, it's directly what happened in my life. And you can relate to the songs, man. You can relate to the music, man. Yeah, so.
Right.
That
correlates with the movie, too, man. It is, man, because you can listen to the music and get different meanings. And also, a lot of the cast, the people that saw the film, when it was completed, said, you can look at that film, and every time you look at it, you'll get something different out of it. They always say it kind of reminds them of the Bible.
Yeah.
A verse, when you read a verse, it means something at that moment. Then it may mean something totally different to you later.
Yep.
I wasn't intending to do that. But like I said, that's another sign that God had his hands on it, man, because I wanted people to be healed through different mediums, whether it be film and visuals or to a beat or to a melody or to a lyric. So I'm kind of attacking the enemy's camp, so to speak.
Yeah.
And on all different levels, man.
Yeah,
angles,
man.
And directions.
Yeah. And this is the type of movie, even with that, with the EP incorporated into it, this is the type of movie I feel that though that would draw everybody in, not just one set of people, not one group of people, but, you know, not just the quote unquote churchy people, but also it'll draw all of them in, you know, the people who go to church, people who don't go to church, people who are religious, people not religious, people who are spiritual, not spiritual. You know, it's going to draw everybody in to see this movie because it has one concept and seem like it's just, you know, that EP, it meshes in with this film, and it's going to allow everybody to come together and see, you know, just see what it's all about, man. And you know, everybody just come together, man. I like that. Now, I heard you say a couple of artists on the EP, Reggie Rock, he's not a newcomer no more.
that brother's
here to stay. I've heard some of his music, man. Excellent, man. Excellent.
Yeah, Stella Award nominee.
Yeah,
Reggie Rock.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So he's not up and coming anymore. He's here, man. He's arrived, man. But this other guy you mentioned, Al Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about him? I know he's also in the cast, correct?
Yeah, he's the main character.
Yeah,
he is the main. And man, when you see his performance, it will rock you. He put his all into it. His passion and his zeal is addicting, man. If you don't get motivated being around Al Harris, something is definitely wrong. His passion.
Oh, wow.
He learned 80 pages of lines before the whole cast. So
wow,
he was on it, man. And
80 pages.
Like he always said, yeah, 80 pages. It was like a little book. Him and the co-star had to endure. So it was a challenge to him. But he always said to me, said, if I dedicate myself to it, I'm going to keep my word. And he did. Because, you know, rapping is his thing. He loved making music. He was writing songs while we was rehearsing. but yeah, so it's like it's Al Harris, you know, like you've never seen him. Very emotional character. He's going to take you on a roller coaster ride of emotions. If you like his music, you're going to love his performance. Cause it kind of caters to his real actual life. That's another thing. He said when he read the script, it was almost like reading his autobiography.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, what? He said, yeah, man. And he had one instance. Yep. Yeah. And he had one instance, man, when we was rehearsing. It was like we had all our lines down, right? And the cinematographer, Smith Lee, came. I said, he's like my mentor. So I said, hey, man, come and see some of these scenes and tell me what you think. Because like I said, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. So he came, and it became a pivotal scene in the film. I'm not going to give it away, but it's very, very emotional.
Wow.
And Al's kind of like a hard character. Al Harris is like a hard person. don't show real emotion. He's not meaning anything. He just don't show emotion like that.
Right.
So it came a time where he had to get into that emotion, and he killed the scene. But after the scene, he got mad and just walked out and ran down the steps. And we just paused for a minute. And we was like, okay, let me go check on him. And I went down, and he was pacing back and forth. He said, man, I didn't want to go back there. I didn't want to dig into that memory. So it kind of correlates with his real life. But he pushed through that and brought it to the screen. So that just shows you how much he was tapped in and locked into this character, man.
Wow.
It's raw emotion. And man, when I tell you, Reggie, it was a ministry moment, man. For that year we was rehearsing. We went through a lot of stuff. A lot of tears were shed.
Yeah.
We usually had this thing called the tear ministry. People come in, had a bad day. We would take time out to talk to them, encourage them, man.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew that doing film and rehearsing and doing these things was my God-given purpose, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. That's, man. Where that young brother from, man? Is he from around here in the upstate area?
I think he's from Greenville area.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but I think he said he was born in New York, but he came down here as a child, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Man, I tell you, man, that's some great talent then of what I'm hearing. Did you find any other cast members of this film from the upstate?
Yeah, everybody in the cast is from the upstate area. Everybody. Every crew member, makeup artist, everybody is solely from the upstate area.
Man, upstate show your love, man. Man, that's awesome, man. That is awesome. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you this, man. Did you cast yourself in the film?
Them scenes got cut, man.
You cut your own self from the scene?
It was kind of unnecessary and creepy, man. Because, in independent film, you got to make some pivots and call it audible. So I had to step in a couple times to make the scene work. But end of the day, it got cut on the editing room floor, man. So,
I didn't
make the film this time.
So you fired yourself off your own film, right?
I fired myself.
I love it. I love it, man. You the only person I know who could fire yourself, man, and still be happy about it.
Right.
I love it. Hey, man, I want to ask you, I know most feature-length films take a long time to make from start to finish, but how long did it take to make this movie, Tools, from start to finish?
I know the cinematographer Smith Lee, a genius, the GOAT.
Gotcha.
I say it's one of South Carolina's best photographers and videographers.
I concur with that.
Yeah, and we had a meeting, pre-production meeting. He said, all right, we're going to use the month of January every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every week. I said, okay. And he said, I don't know if we can get it done, but if y'all own it, we can get it done. I don't think this has ever been done in feature filmmaking. We shot this in, I think, 10 days. We shot a 2-hour, 15-minute film in 10 days.
Wow. Repeat that one more time. I don't think I heard you correctly.
We shot a 2-hour, 15-minute film in 10 days.
Man.
10 days.
Man. Was everything I didn't mean to cut you off, but was everything shot here in the upstate?
Yeah. Every location, every scene is from the upstate area. Yeah.
Wow.
So
in 10 days.
And it wasn't easy. A lot of things fell through.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, with independent filmmaking, you got to make the best out of the worst situations, man. And 10 days, we came down to the wire. We had one day we shot, in just one day, we shot 15 scenes in one day.
Goodness.
That's how real it was on set. But I think it will be more feature films out there if they, not say shooting in 10 days, God no, but use time, you know, wisely, you know, because we was back to back with it. Done a scene, all right, move out, let's do another scene. Set the lighting up. We was real quick. We was kind of like a Tyler Perry crew where we just knocked stuff out real quick.
Yeah.
But I think we created a formula where we could put content out at a quicker rate but keep the quality as well. And when I, and honestly, Reggie, when it wrapped, I was scared. I was nervous because when you're shooting film, when we shot this film, I didn't have the footage after those days of shooting. So everything I saw while the scene was going on, I had to keep that in my mind to make, I said, okay, I just hope this turns out right in editing. So it wrapped and I said, oh man, I think this is going to be, I don't think this is going to be good, right?
Oh man.
So Smith and C said, no. When you edit, that's when it really comes together. Mm-hmm. Send it to the editor. When I first got the rough copy back, I got emotional, man. I said, we did it. You know, we did it. And the crazy thing about it, if it wasn't for editing, we would have had a 3-hour movie on our hands. So we shot without the edit cut. It was like a 3-hour film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I said, how in the world did we do this? You know?
Yeah. And it didn't seem like it took that long. Well, it probably didn't seem like it took that much footage as you were doing it. But
when
it came together, you're like, man, look at all this we got. Yeah. Okay. Man.
Right. So, I mean, it was some errors in there, but we made, like I said, independent film, you make the best out of the worst situations.
Yeah.
That's the secret sauce, so to speak, when it comes to independent filmmaking, man.
Man. Yeah, I guarantee it is, man. I guarantee it is. Were there any roadblocks you faced in making this movie?
Money.
Oh, man. You said it right. That's a mouthful right there.
A lot of things fell through, which I know that happens. And with film, you can't miss one component. You have to have everything that you need. I discovered that you can't skip over makeup.
Mm.
They can have the clearest skin in the world.
Uh-huh.
But they have to have some kind of makeup on their face. Because if you don't, their face is going to look dull. It don't matter how much you edit it. It's going to look different from somebody like a woman who has makeup on.
Right.
So we had to have makeup. We couldn't cut that corner. We needed lighting. Couldn't cut that. Of course, we needed a camera. But some people, man, didn't show up on shooting day.
Mm.
And when you don't show up, we don't have no other time to reschedule shooting. If it is, you're dealing with locations that are open to the public, normal operating hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't just pick any day. People didn't show up. Money was short, especially when it came to editing. Because editing costs just as much as I'm on shooting the film.
Right.
So, like I said, man, it's making the best out of the worst situations, man. That's when I stepped in. I was in the film. Because I had stepped in when somebody didn't show up or somebody didn't keep their word. But we had to make do. Even the lighting guy, he was setting up lights for the sets.
Uh-huh.
And one guy didn't show up. I said, okay, you want to be in the film? He said, huh? What? I said, man, here's your lines. Go in there. And the barber, a next level barbershop, Rob, I think his name is Rob Robertson, something like that. He wasn't supposed to be in the film either. The guy that was supposed to come and do it didn't show up.
Right.
And he had like a page of lines. I said, oh man, we need to. I said, Rob, you want to be in it? I said, yeah, I'll do it. And he was sitting there reading the script while he was cutting somebody's hair. Right. And we gave him like 30, 40 minutes to get it. He said, okay, I got it. And we actually shot it. So put a little makeup on him, boom. And he killed it. So
wow.
It's like making the best, like I said, again, best out of the worst situation.
And who knows how that may end up later on in life for him, man. Who knows?
Right.
Man, that may come out some more opportunities for that young brother.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, that is awesome, man. That is awesome. Were there any scenes in this movie that was difficult to shoot?
Oh man.
I know you had the one about my brother Al when he had that episode after the shoot, but were there any others?
Yeah, it was the final climax scene, the final scene that ties everything in together.
Uh-huh.
We was in Greenville at one of the actresses' house. She opened the house up to us, fed us. And it was an evening shoot. So I said, all right, we got to get in. We got to get out because people are here. They want to go to sleep. We can't be here all day. Let's get it. First scene went okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a scene with Al and the co-star. I knew they was going to kill it. Other scene, that's where the roadblock happened. It got so bad It got so bad, we was trying to do that scene for 2.5 hours. And finally, Smith and Lee, like I said, he's my mentor. He knows what to do. He said, all right, we got to do something. We got to cut this out. We got to shorten this down. This ain't working.
Because we was
at somebody else's house, and they were just sitting on the couch just looking at us like, all right, y'all good? But I could tell, like, y'all need to hurry this up. So we had to pivot and cut a lot of dialogue out. And it shows in the editing process, we had to do a lot of editing to make that scene kind of work.
Right.
And it was so bad, man, that after we wrapped, after I had all the footage and I sent it to the editor, I had to do a voiceover.
I got you.
To make sure everybody got what actually went on. The climax scene may not hit, but because of the voiceover,
yeah,
it makes it more powerful. So,
oh man,
yeah, that was a disaster. If we didn't shoot that last scene, if we didn't finish it, there will be no Tools film. That's how important that last scene was, and we were struggling to get it right, man. But hey, we pulled through, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, that's making me want to see this movie more and more now with that. I want to see it, man. I just want to see that scene, man. I bet I can pretty much figure out, you know, what may, when I hear the voiceover, I may be able to figure out, you know, where that may be and see how
and that's
much
actually,
that
man,
is.
And I'm going to say this, that that is, the climax scene is actually one of the shortest scenes in the film.
Oh, wow.
But that wasn't our intention.
Gotcha.
That's how bad it was. But because of the voiceover,
yeah,
it's gonna be powerful, man.
You make it, man. My mouth watering, man. I'm ready. I'm ready. I like this, man. I like it. Now, I want to ask you. I know you said you got some great cast members. I know you mentioned Al Harris and I'm pretty sure that, you know, everybody that you picked, you know, they had to meet a certain criteria to be in the movie. But were there any cast members ever go off script by accident or ad lib anything? And if so, did you go like, man, I'm gonna keep that right there. That's good. You know, were you like in that situation?
Oh yeah, we kind of nipped that in the bud. Cause improv is definitely, if it's not on the script or I don't tell you the improv, it's a no-no.
Gotcha.
Because with editing, you have to say the exact same line three or four times.
Gotcha.
And you have to do the exact same movements 4 or 5 times. People don't know that either.
Oh.
In editing. So if you move your glasses, if you say, I'm sick of this, and you yank your glasses off, the other 4 or 5 takes, you have to do it the exact same way because of editing purposes. So,
gotcha.
So if they wanted to ad lib, we kind of went through the script and said, hey, this will sound better. So we kind of nipped that in the bud before we got on set. But the issue came at the final scene, person didn't know their lines and they was improvising their scene.
Yeah.
And we couldn't use none of the stuff because it would seem horrible. It editing wise, not the acting.
Mm-hmm.
The editor couldn't edit it right. So we had to piece it together to make it work. So it was a good thing that some people ad-libbed before and made it even more impactful. But also it's kind of a monkey wrench in it because certain scenes you can't ad-lib off of. So
yeah, and that's time and money as well, too.
Oh, yeah. Time is money in independent filmmaking. Definitely.
Oh, man. I tell you, I bet. Now, what are you wanting to convey to the ones who are coming out to check out your film? What are you trying to get them to understand about your movie?
The main thing I want people to get from this film is that everybody goes through a dark period in their life.
Yeah.
But the key word is they go through it. They don't stay there. And I'm trying to speak to the people that have chose to stay in what they're supposed to be going through. So it's a roller coaster ride. It covers a wide array of topics, man, from depression, mental health, all these different things. So we try to tackle everything that goes on in life that may throw us off course and just put it in human form and let people see that there's another way to go through it. Now, disclaimer, some of these things don't end the way you want it to. But like I said, that's about being honest with people in life. Honesty.
Right. Yeah.
It may not end the way you want it to. It may not go right. A tragedy may happen. But the key is almost gave the title away. the key is the key. That's the other title other than tools, but you know, keep walking on that road, keep going straight.
Yeah.
Have a positive outlook on life, and it's not preachy. We got some powerful nuggets in there, and you know it's a faith based. The foundation is faith based.
Yeah.
In it, so you get that I guess that word that you can, that tool that you can use to elevate where you are.
Yeah.
But the key thing I want people to watch is Al Harris, John, and the other co-star Grace. And just notice Grace is a powerful character in there too. So look at the correlation when you watch this film and watch how Grace moves.
Man.
And I'm saying that because I can say this because Grace is a personification of God's grace.
Gotcha.
So
yeah.
Just watch the film, and you can watch it from two different ways, man. On the surface, you can have a good time. You can get a little meaning out of it.
Uh-huh.
But you really can piece this thing out and you know, dissect every aspect, and you'll get something new every time. So it's a very encouraging, eye-opening, and I want people to do some self-inventory as well to get rid of some things that's in them that's been laying dormant. And just help them elevate that. You're not in it alone. You can get through it if you just use your tools.
man, that's awesome, man. That's that. Now that's a word in itself, right there. What you just said,
yes, man. Sir.
Oh yeah. Can I ask you this, man? What film or television program, if any, did they influence you in making this film? Were there anything else other than your creativity and your thought processes? Was there like film, television, a movie, or another movie that influenced you?
I'm gonna say this. I'm not gonna say this to be sounding arrogant at all.
Right.
I gained no inspiration from no movie at all, no television show. That's the scary thing.
Oh.
But I came at it in a sense where I see a lot of Christian films that are cheesy.
Yeah.
And I think film is supposed to be an outreach tool, and I think it's been kind of packaged solely geared towards church people.
Gotcha.
Or people that are already saved and walking their new path. I took a different approach.
Yeah.
And went not through the front door, but through the back door, so to speak.
That's good.
Raw and real and relevant. So people can grasp something real that they can identify with. So that's what fed me to do this kind of film, to say, okay, I'm gonna make a kind of a Christian based film that is not cheesy. That was the whole goal.
Yeah. I can feel you on that. I can relate to that. Yeah. You don't want too many things, you know, to come off, like you said, sounding like, you know, crazy, you know,
right.
Stuff like that, you know, or too much, like you said, too much over the top. You want it to hit them. You want it to gut punch them. You know, you want to catch them by surprise, you know, and then you'll also have a meaning behind it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like it, man. I like it. I say, man, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. Now I want to ask you this, man. To be honest, man, if you had to shoot this film over again, would you do anything differently?
Oh, man, I'd do a lot different.
You would?
I mean, because, like, I think that's a gift and a curse to filmmakers.
Uh-huh.
You go creatives. Because I looked at the film, I guess, about 20 times now.
Yeah.
Due to the fact I'm editing. So I have to look at it that many times.
Yeah.
And I always would say, I could have done that better. I could have done this better. But that's a constant growth thing within me.
Uh-huh.
But I can honestly say, man, I wouldn't change nothing. But if the stuff I know now, I would apply it to if I was to reshoot it. I already know what to do, but I'll probably keep the same kind of vibe to it because I really like how it turned out, man. So,
man, I can't wait, man. I tell you, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Look, I want to ask you this very important question. Here it is. I know the movie haven't come out yet, and I know we're about ready to see this movie. You said coming out April 24th, right? That Saturday.
April 24th.
It's coming Saturday. Yeah, but I want to know. And like I said, it haven't came out yet, and I know it's going to be a hit, man. I'm praying that it's going to be everything that you wanted it to be and more. But will there be a sequel, Tools? What was your man, tools too?
That's the cast. When we was reading the script, we had table reads. It's a lot of loose ends in it. And they asked me, is it going to be another sequel to it? And I said, yeah and no. I said, I really ain't even thought that, so I'm just trying to get this out the way.
Yeah.
But looking back at it now, it's so many different ways that I can go through it. You know, I'm already working on completing another project, so that kind of preoccupied me. But if I was to do a sequel, it wouldn't be called Tools. It would be called Weapons, correlate what's going on in the film. So I already had the foundation of that, but it's going to be some time before that gets put out because God got me on something else right now.
Yeah.
But, hey, Tools 2 would probably be even better than Tools 1. Just to see, because the amount of places I can go with it. So I would just say that if you got patience, there most likely will be a sequel.
Man, well, I tell you what, man. I know this haven't came out yet, man. I pray and hope that everybody come out and see it and support you in this movie. Man, it sounds like it's going to be awesome. I know it's going to be awesome. Like I say, the things that I've seen in it, some of the snippets, man, it's something, man. It is wonderful. Just seeing those small parts, them little teasers, man. So I'm ready, man. I'm ready. And I hope and pray that everything works out for you in your movie making ventures and you get all the resources you need. Pray that your finances and everything comes into alignment to produce many more films. I just pray, man, that everything works out for you and works out for your family, all the people that you're in connection with and that you're associated with to help produce many films for you. I just pray peace and blessings, man, for everything that you're doing, man.
Thank you, man. It's definitely needed, man, because it's a gamble.
Oh, man.
But Reggie, man, to say I'm at peace with it.
Yeah.
If God told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And I know that I'm going to get emotional up there on stage. Like I always told my cast and crew, I said, premiere date, if it don't sell out, I'm fine. I said, that's how much at peace I am with it. Because I know the whole vision. And I know the people that I've touched making it, the people that I touched will touch when they see it and when they view it. And I'm at peace with it, man. I can honestly say that I'm not stressed out about it.
Yeah.
And people are still donating. God bless y'all. Thank you so much. Yes. But support goes a long way, man. It goes a long way. So I'm going to say this, Reggie, man. I forgot to say this, but upon making this Tools project, 2 years in the making, 9 to 10 days of shoot, before I even put the pencil on the paper or my keys to the keyboard, God says in this process, he said, I'm going to show you something. That's the main. He kept saying it to me audibly. I'm going to show you something.
Wow.
Just look at everything. I'm going to show you. It was like repetitive. You know, when God really wants you to get what he's saying, he repeats it.
Yes.
Over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, man, I've learned some eye opening things, man. And something that rocked me to the core, especially towards the end, that I'm trying to hold it together. And people praying for me, thank you so much. But when I hit that stage, Reggie, when I hit that stage, especially at the 7 p.m. show, get your tickets, by the way. I'm going to have a team of people holding me up because this took a lot out of me. This rocked me to my core. God stripped some things from me. That was necessary, but it hurt. But the product from that hurt and that pain, it birthed a movie called Tools, man. And God showed me a lot. I did some self-inventory. And the same feeling I get through the pain, through the anguish, now to the joy, I pray people go through that process as well. Because at the end, man, you find this newfound peace that I have now.
Yeah.
That whatever happens, happens. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm not depressed. I'm at a peaceful state. You know, you got to go through the storm to get to the eye of it. That's where peace is. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the eye of the storm, just having my woosah moment. And April 24th, 3 p.m., 7 p.m., when I hit that stage at 7 p.m., you're going to see all the hard work and sacrifice it took to do this. But that is, that will inspire other people to look. You're going to lose some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff, but you're going to create a masterpiece. So that's the goal, man. I learned a lot, gained a lot, lost a lot. But it was all worth it to just be obedient to God, man. That's my overall goal. I'm big on being obedient to God, and he took me through it. He didn't leave me. He didn't leave me there. So, hey, it's going to be a monumental moment, man. First feature length film in Spartanburg. So, man, history in the making.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Can't wait, man. Can't wait. And look, y'all, there it is, man. There it is. My brother, Jonathan Oglesby. Y'all go check this movie out, man. It's coming out April 24th. He has two viewings of the movie. Any other important information we need to know about the movie for the movie premiere?
All right, I'm going to clear the air. You cannot get tickets at the door. That is a policy from the Chapman Culture Center. No tickets will be handed out at the door. So you have to get your tickets in advance. Ticket sales will end April 24th at 2 p.m. That's a 1 hour before the matinee show. Just to get that out the way. At the 3 p.m. matinee showing, it's Come As You Are. You can come casual. You can come in your sweats. We're going to see the film. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes, and you're going to be on your way. 7 p.m. is our red carpet premiere. You know, you can take pictures. You can take photos. We have a mini concert. They will be performing songs from the Tools EP. You will enjoy a film. And also, I will speak at the end of that as well. So, matinee, Come As You Are. 7 p.m., red carpet, fresh. Enjoy a concert and a movie. You cannot get your tickets at the door. Just put that out there. Don't be last minute either. You got to get it before you walk in the building. So that's the only thing I want to say about it. Hope to see everybody in the building. Your support goes a long way. Your money, your ticket will help us do other promotions and other feature films as well. So your support goes a long way. It is much needed and it's much appreciated. April 24th. Hope to see y'all there, man.
Yeah. Can our listeners find you anywhere on social media, man? Anywhere they can check you out?
You can follow me personally on Facebook, Jonathan Oglesby, O-G-L-E-S-B-Y, Jonathan without the H, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, and follow the Tools Project. It will soon morph into our main page, which is O-6 Films, O-S-I-X Films. That's on IG. Yeah, follow us on there too as well. Or follow us on the Tools Project, T-H-E-T-O-O-L-S Project, P-R-O-J-E-C-T.
There it is, man. There it is. I love it, man. Hey, man, Brother Oglesby. Man, look, I enjoyed you on today, man. I thank God for you, man. I pray, man, that this film be everything. Again, like I said, everything that you want it to be, everything you have it to be. Man, we gonna support you in every way, man, for this film, man, because I know it's an awesome project, man, and it's a blessing for what you're doing, man, and especially to the ones who are part of the body of Christ, as well as the ones who are unchurched and unsaved, man. You're gonna bring a whole lot of people together, man, with this movie. I just pray and believe that. Man, thank you for your valuable time, man, that you set aside for me, man, on the Fleming Feedback, man. I enjoyed this, man.
Hey, thank you for having me on, man. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be on your platform, and thank you for allowing me to speak on the film.
Yes, sir. Anytime, man. And after all this over with, man, once it dies down some, man, with the movie premiere and everything, man, come back, man, and share it with us again, man.
I definitely will.
Man, awesome, man. Appreciate you, man. Have a great day, my brother.
You too.
All right.
Hey, hey, hey to my faithful listeners. I want to take this time out to say thank you for listening to my podcast. I pray this episode has blessed you and hopefully inspired you to be great today. And if you like the episode you've heard today, then leave a comment for me on the podcast platform you found me. And go ahead and spread the word about this podcast to your friends and family. Tell them to type in the Fleming Feedback on all the major podcast platforms. You can also email your comments to me at TheFlemingFeedback@gmail.com. I'll be looking forward to your feedback. So in the meantime and in between time, stay inspired, stay encouraged, and stay blessed. Oh, psst. Come check me out on the next episode.